what I'm about to do right now. But I think I'm going to do it anyway. Somebody said, Martin, you know, with this black and white thing, this Vincent Price thing, you need some scary music, like, to go along with it. And your introduction, you know, it's kind of snappy, but to fit this new thing here, you need some scary music. So I found this hauntingly beautiful, yet frighteningly disturbing music for the first trumpet. I'm going to regret this. The reason I'm going to regret it is because I do think that Israelites will be listening to this during the days of tribulation. And they will think I'm mocking the coming trials, or the trials that will then be settled upon them on the earth. I am mocking it by making a production out of it with copyright-free horror music. But no, this is not my intention. My intention is but to set a mood, to create an ambiance of hope and expectation in the midst of the trauma. As you can hear from these light notes, you hear some voices in the background, perhaps an angelic choir. Uh-oh, sounds like a rattlesnake. What is that? Oh, and now, it is true. We have dark and disturbing notes from the lower end of a piano, I think. And although the voices are melodic, they are sad simultaneously. And this is quite troubling. Now begins the percussion. I fear to go further. And so, I will not go further. The first trumpet. I'm going to read from the beginning of chapter 8, because that's where we are, ladies and gentlemen. We are in chapter 8 of the unveiling of Jesus Christ. Last week we talked about the hush in the heavens that prepared us for this. And here it is again. 8:1. And when it opens the seventh seal, a hush occurred in heaven, as it were, half an hour. And I perceived the seven messengers who stand before God, and seven trumpets were given to them. And another messenger came and was standing at the altar, having a golden thurible. A thurible is a censer, something you cram with incense, light it on fire, wave it around, like the Catholics do at funerals. And much incense, see, was given him that he shall be imparting to the prayers of all the saints on the golden altar before the throne. So it's crammed. This is a memorial, a remembrance of the prayers of the saints. Told you yesterday, God doesn't forget this. He doesn't. And it's actually an incense before him, which wouldn't be the case at the time it happened. It was horrible. Thinking of Stephen again. What kind of incense was that? What kind of sweet savor was that? And yet, the suffering of God's saints is a memorial, and it's remembered, and it comes up to him, the prayers, the pleas, as a thing to savor, because he sees the outcome. And much incense given him that he shall be imparting to the prayers of all the saints on the golden altar before the throne. And the fumes of the incense with the prayers of the saints ascended out of the messenger's hand before God. Before God. God is the overseer of the prayers. And he is satisfied that people cry out to him. Who else are you going to cry out to? That's what I always say. If you can't tell God what's happening to you, who can you tell? He's the one who's doing all this. And so by crying out to him, it's an acknowledgement of his sovereignty. And the messenger has taken the thurible and he crams it with the fire of the altar and casts it into the earth. Now here it comes like a boomerang back at the earth. And it contains the suffering of the saints. So we can't forget that the suffering of God's people is the reason why this day of indignation is coming in the first place. Well, notwithstanding the reason God's going to take the earth back to himself, but it's because this earth has been polluted. And I'm not talking about you greenies out there with the pollution of the air and the water. That's true too, but the pollution is anti-God pollution. The pollution is man's self-righteousness pollution. The pollution is everything that religion would attempt to do to usurp God's place. That's pollution. Every bit of persecution against one of God's saints, that's pollution. It's spirit pollution. We never think about this. It's always the earth, always what's happening. You segregate paper from plastic, and yet we have the worst pollution ever. That is a godlessness and a hatred of God that's manifested through a hatred of those he sends. Cast it into the earth, and thunders and voices and lightning and an earthquake occurred. This is just the beginning. This is not the earthquake. This is an earthquake. Verse 6, and the seven messengers who have the seven trumpets make themselves ready that they should be trumpeting. Verse 7, and the first trumpets. And there came to be hail and fire mixed with blood, and it was cast into the earth, and a third of the earth was burned up, and a third of the trees were burned up, and all green grass was burned up. And I have heard people say that the tribulation is a local phenomenon. The tribulation is limited to Israel. That is so preposterous, so absurd. You might as well tell me that the flood of Noah was localized. And I know people who say that too. Smart people who should know better. This is not localized. This is a third of the earth. And people make fun of this. And believe me, I'm not making fun of this. Even with my scary music, I was setting a tone and a mood, but I'm not making fun of it because they think this is fake. They've never seen anything like it. Well, let me ask you this. Have you ever seen a river of blood? Oh, you've never seen that, huh? Did you know that the plagues of Egypt, there was a river of blood? The rivers turned to blood by the judgments of God? And this wasn't colored water either. And what we're seeing now is a close parallel. And lest anyone think this is too fantastic to happen, God has a precedent. This has happened before, and we will see that the trumpets will closely follow the plagues of Egypt. There are similarities here. Now, the plagues of Egypt were limited because it's Egypt, and it's plainly said to be Egypt in Exodus, and we're going to look at that. But here, it's the entire earth, a third of the earth, a third of the earth, not a third of Jerusalem, a third of Palestine, a third of the Holy Land, a third of the earth. Read what it says. God's going to take back the earth to himself. He's not just going to come back and reclaim Jerusalem and leave Chicago and Baltimore and Timbuktu and Istanbul and Sao Paulo to their own. He's going to take the whole earth. And so these trials come upon the whole earth. My gosh. And this is, I'm going to show you in Exodus. Scary, isn't it? This is as literal as can be. And when you take this stuff literally, you realize suddenly what's happening here. And you realize how serious it is to have opposed God and how serious God is in taking back the earth. And the first messenger trumpets, and there came to be hail and fire mixed with blood, and it was cast into the earth. Hail and fire mixed with blood. I am going to go to Exodus 7. Verses 14 through 15. And Jehovah said to Moses, the heart of Pharaoh hath been hard. He has refused to send the people away. Go to Pharaoh in the morning. Lo, he is going out to the water, and you have stood to meet him by the edge of the river. And the rod which was turned to a serpent, take in your hand. And I'm getting rid of the thous and the hast. You have said unto him, Jehovah, God of the Hebrews, has sent me, saying, send my people away. But you don't do it. Yada, yada. Verse 17. Thus says Jehovah, by this know that I am Jehovah. I am smiting with the rod which is in my hand on the waters which are in the river, and they have been turned to blood. And the fish that are in the rivers die, and the river stank. And the Egyptians have been wearied of drinking waters from the river. Well, I don't think that lasted too long, because they eventually didn't drink it at all. Listen to this. Verse 20, and Moses and Aaron do so. Oh, this is, okay, that was before they did it. I don't understand that exactly, but let's go to verse 20. And Moses and Aaron do so in Jehovah, as Jehovah has commanded, and he lifts up his hand with the rod, and he smites the waters which are in the river before the eyes of Pharaoh, and before the eyes of his servants, and all the waters which are in the river are turned to blood. Not colored water, blood. Gore. Corpuscles. Platelets, white blood cells. And the fish which are in the river die, and the river stinks, and the Egyptians have not been able to drink the water from the river. No kidding. And the blood is in all the land of Egypt. The remarkable thing is, verse 22, and the scribes of Egypt do so with their flashings. I love this. I think this is Young's literal. Their flashings. I don't know what that is. Maybe they set off a charge or something. And the heart of Pharaoh is strong, and he does not hearken to them. The magicians of Egypt used black arts. They were definitely calling upon spirits. This was not a reality show television magic trick. This was real gore. Real blood in the river. I've never seen that before, Martin. This is the thing. This is the assumption that because things have gone on, you've never seen anything so crazy. I had an argument about this one time on the Lake of Fire. Now, I've never seen a lake of fire, Martin, because I purport it to be literal. Never seen a lake of fire. Well, okay, neither have I. Have you ever seen a river of blood? No. Did God turn the river to blood in Egypt? Yeah. Yeah, I guess it's happened before. I guess we weren't around then. I guess God has done stuff without us before we were born. And I guess we've been living in a nifty, cool, gear, peachy, keen era where nothing like this has ever occurred. But we are told, let's listen, that the trials coming on the earth have never come on the earth. Well, this one has, but not to the extent, to the volume. It's going to foul everything. And this water is not this in Revelation. Here's the difference. I'm going to show you the hail and the fire later. Astounding. Here's the difference. The hail and fire are mixed with blood. It's coming out of the sky. The blood is dripping out of the sky. I don't even think Stephen King has come up with this one. That it rains blood. And the blood combusts. Okay, you're thinking I'm off on the crazy train now, but I'm not. But I'm 12 minutes into this program, so I'm going to have to... Tomorrow, I'm going to show you what happened with the hail in Egypt. And if you take the plagues of Egypt literally, which I assume many of you do, my question would be, why then would you allegorize the same types of plagues, only with greater range, greater ferocity? Why would you take that and make it a fairy tale, a story? Because if you do that, then you're putting the world to sleep. I mean, they're asleep anyway. No matter what alarm I sound or anybody sounds, the world's asleep. And only God can wake. We see what it takes to wake them up. Can I do that? No. I don't have that kind of power. It's a good thing I don't, because a lot of you would be in big trouble. Just kidding. Nobody, no human has that kind of power. Only God can be trusted with that kind of power. But again, to look at Egypt and say, yeah, of course that happened. And then to say, oh, it's not going to happen again. It's the old, I haven't seen anything like this trick. It's the old, well, everything's gone on as it always has. But that those days are going to change. And tomorrow we're going to see blood mixed with hail and fire. It's happened before, but not to this extent. You're going to see things on this earth that have never occurred before.